still wait for me to back off these stairs when I do that? Think of that every time. Would you help me back up, or would you be laughing too hard? All right, we're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit. Very important that we understand what the Holy Spirit is and the purpose, how He operates. Last week, we went through Scripture and we noticed that the Holy Spirit is an individual. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a force. It's not the emanation of God's will. It's not like gravity or magnetism. The Holy Spirit is an actual personality. Christ speaks of the Holy Spirit as a person, as a separate person. It possesses the characteristics of a person, and He performs the actions of a person, choosing and thinking. And He suffers the slights and injuries of a person. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can test the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a person, every bit equals to the Father and the Son. Everybody got that, right? It's not a force. It's a person. Then we talk about how can God be the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit equally to God like Bob over there. Bob is a father and a son and a brother. And He's 100% Father, right? 100% of Bob is a brother. 100% of Bob is a son. How can you be those three total things and still be one Bob? It's just it. That's the way it is. When He deals with Anna, He's 100% Father. When He deals with Bonnie, He's 100% husband. When He deals with His siblings, He's 100% just how you deal with the situation you're in. So, no problem there. The Trinity doesn't bother me a bit. We're all Trinity. Body, soul, and spirit. No problem. Now, we got down to Bob is one Bob. He's a father, he's a son, he's a brother, but he's just one. You're just one Bob, right? All right? Unity. These things united. It's because he's a father and a brother and a husband and a son. It's because those things are one thing that he understands. He understands how to be a father to Anna because he was also a son to his parents. So the son part of Bob informs the father part of Bob. This is what it's like to be a child. Understand? So it's the unity of Bob. I got to do a lesson called the unity of Bob. I love that. As soon as I said it, I went, ooh, unity of Bob. So it's the unity of Bob that makes Bob Bob. It's the unity of the Holy Spirit that makes God God. That's what we're going to talk about today. Life is unification. Life is joined together. Life is becoming one. That's what life is all about. Matter of fact, every person sitting in here, you exist because two became one in unification. Got me? Got it? All right, that's why you exist. Life is unification. Life is becoming one. That's all the Scripture teaches. Genesis 3:7, when the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living spirit. When did man become alive? When God joined his spirit to man's. So when does life occur? In joining. Your life. You're alive because of two joining. When does life occur? When joining together. God's spirit and man's spirit, that's when it happened. When God's spirit joined with man, life is created and it is sustained in that unification. As long as man is joined to God, he's alive. Matter of fact, how long would Adam have lived if he hadn't sinned? We can go talk to him. Right? Because as long as you're joined to God, you don't die. God is life.
Now, that's the whole point. Life is unification.
So 1 Thessalonians 5:23.
And may the God of peace himself
sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete.
What does God want for every Christian?
Unification. Your spirit, your soul, and your body unified into one whole, preserved and joined with Him, creating full, complete life. That's what life is. It's all unified. It's unified. It's becoming one. Unification is God's sole purpose to create and sustain life in one body through one spirit. What am I looking at? I'm looking at one body, aren't I? I'm looking at one blood. I'm looking at one spirit. I'm looking at one body. You know why we're alive and the world is dead? Because we are joined, unified. We've become one. That means we're alive. Everybody got that? That's the context. Life is joining together, unification. You ever meet somebody to make you feel alive? You know that feeling? You meet somebody, it's like, wow. They click something. And you feel alive like you didn't before you met that person. You understand why? Because you've got that one heartbeat. And it just wakes you up. That's what life is. That's what makes life worth living. Now, once we've got that, we look at the other side of the coin. Genesis 2:17. God speaking, "But from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat from it, you will surely die." Now Adam lived 939 years, something like that. He didn't die that day, so God was wrong. Right, Paul?
No, God's wrong.
What do you mean?
He died.
Why did Adam die that day? He lived for 900 more years.
He was spiritually dead that day.
What happened when Adam sinned?
Separation.
Separation. If unification is life, separation is death. Got that? That's the whole thing. That's what you've got to understand. That's what the Bible teaches. Unification is life. Joining together, becoming one is life. Separating yourself, selfishness, hate, envy, all that is separation, bringing death. When man's spirit is separated from God's, death is instantaneous and it's sustained in that separation. Doesn't it say you were dead in your sins and trespasses? Well, he's talking to people who are alive to read that, so that's stupid, right, Bonnie? How can we be dead in sins and trespasses if we're alive to read that verse? Huh? Yeah, he said, you were dead in your sins and trespasses. How can dead people know they're dead? You have to tell them. They won't admit it because they don't think they are. That's the whole point. When God says dead, what does he mean?
Separated.
Separated from him. That's dead. Anything else is just a temporary state. But joined to God is life. Joined to each other, life. Separation from God, separation from each other, death. That's everything right there in a nutshell. James 2:26, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." Separation is Satan's sole purpose in order to bring death and keep the dead separated from the spirit. God's whole purpose is to unify, bring life. Satan's whole purpose is to separate and bring death. How simple is that? That's everything. That explains everything of all creation. That explains men's behavior. That explains the church. That explains salvation. God's purpose is to unify and make alive. Satan's purpose is to separate and keep dead. That's it. Once you understand that, you'll understand the way things are in this world. The best example is that when Satan entered the garden, what was his sole purpose with Adam and Eve? What was he wanting to do? Separate them from God. Because if he couldn't separate them from God, he would have to give them dominion. He would have to bow down. And Satan's not going to bow down. So he had to separate them from God so that Satan could rule. That's it. He had to kill them. And he's been doing the same thing ever since. Sin separates us from God. And then his ultimate plan is to use the law and the cross to separate Jesus Christ from God's Spirit. Right? Because the law says, God's own law says, if you're hung from a tree, you're accursed. Accursed means separated from God. So, he used the Pharisees, he hung Jesus Christ from a tree. And because Jesus Christ is hung from a tree, what does Jesus have to do to be obedient to the law? He has to yield up his. He has to yield his spirit. He has to let it go, and that's exactly what happened. It says point blank, Matthew 27:50, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. It wasn't taken from him. He gave it. And the reason he gave it is to be obedient. If the law says you die and hung on a tree, you are cursed and separated from God, you're obedient, what does he have to do? He has to give the Spirit away. And once Jesus Christ is separated from the Spirit of God, and he yielded up the Spirit and gave it away because to be obedient, that's what the law says, what happened to Jesus Christ? He was truly dead. That's what happened to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was separated from God's Spirit, and he was truly dead. Now, how does that apply to the world? By law, because this is the penalty of law, hung on a tree, separated from God, Jesus was separated from God and truly dead. What about the world? One sin separates you from God. Does everybody have at least one? So the whole world is separated from God. You got that? Like Jesus Christ in the tomb, the whole world is separated from God. The whole world is dead. That's why he said you were once dead in your sins and trespasses. The whole world is dead. Does the world understand this?
No.
No. They do not understand it. Matter of fact, if you go tell them they're dead, how do they respond, Bonnie? You're a stupid. What are you talking about? You're ignorant. So no, you're dead. Well, my dead fist is going to pop your face if you don't get out. They don't understand. But that's why the world refuses grace, because grace says you're dead and helpless. Man says, no, I'm not. It's my devotion. It's my faith. It's my commitment. But that's the whole point here. If you're separated from God, you're truly dead. If you're joined to God, you're truly alive. Everybody got that? And the Holy Spirit's entire job, God the Father is to be the authority, the provider. Jesus is to be the Word, the manifestation to show the Father. Everything the Holy Spirit does is to bring life, unity, unify. That's what He does. The Holy Spirit unifies and brings life. Jesus Christ was truly dead, separated from God by law. Why couldn't Satan keep them separated? He thought he could. Yeah. Did Satan think he won, Paul?
Yeah.
When he separated the Son from the Father and the Holy Spirit, and he was truly dead by law, Satan, I won. Why couldn't he keep them separated?
God promised
the Holy Spirit. Right. God made a promise. If you will do this for me, I'll raise you up. Satan thought nonsense. So he did it. He cursed Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is truly dead with all the rest of the dead in the Hadean world, in the Sheol. The problem is, God now had a perfect sacrifice. True? Jesus Christ sacrificed. He had a perfect sacrifice of love. Law has penalties. You break the law, you pay the penalty. The penalty for sin, the penalty for breaking the law, is death. God can take that perfect sacrifice of death and pay the penalty. You understand? If Jesus Christ truly did by law, that's the penalty. God can take that perfect sacrifice, pay what law demands, and then he can tell his Holy Spirit, okay, law is satisfied, go get my Son. And isn't it the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? Isn't that what it says in Romans? If you have the Spirit within you that raised Jesus from the dead, you too will be raised from the dead. Jesus Christ was separated from God by law and truly dead. God used a perfect sacrifice to pay that debt, the law, the penalty of law. If law is paid off, what more can law do to you? Paul, when you pay your speeding ticket, what more can they do to you?
You're done.
When you pay the penalty of law, what more can law do? Nothing. So God put down the perfect sacrifice, Christ's blood on the cross, said, go get my Son. And the Holy Spirit joined to Jesus Christ once again, joined to his body, he stood up, walked out of that tomb. That's real. That actually happened. So all of us, if we're truly dead by law, and a lot of you once were, truly dead by law, separated by God from sin, how can you live again? Bonnie, how can you live again if you're truly dead, separated from God?
It's God's promise and the Holy Spirit.
God can take that perfect sacrifice, pay the penalty of your sin, which is death. He'll pay that debt to pay you off. Then He'll say, go get Bonnie, the Holy Spirit. Go get Bonnie and join with her. What happens when the Holy Spirit joins with your dead body? For how long? As long as you're joined together. How hard is this? Not hard, is it? The Holy Spirit joins to the truly dead when you bury the dead, when they admit they're dead and they allow themselves to be buried, knowing there's nothing they can do, they're helpless, trusting God's promise, like Jesus Christ. And God says, when you are buried and dead and trusting Him, that He will keep His promise because you sure can't do anything, God tells the Holy Spirit, you go to that person, and when they come out of that water, you join to them. You become one, because that's life. You become one with that person. They're born again, new life, new creature in Christ. They're joined to the Father. They have life as long as they're joined together. Why is this hard? Bonnie, why is it hard?
Well, people think it's a supernatural.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You know,
just
like
yeah, ooh, booga, booga. But that's not it at all. When you and Bob, the one true God-like Bob, when y'all went through a ceremony, were you spiritually joined together? And Bob makes you alive. Right? And you make Bob alive. Right? Why is it any different with God and the church? Go through a ceremony, you're joined together and made alive. Why is it any different? It's not any different. That's the whole point. Satan couldn't keep them apart because God now had a perfect sacrifice, pay the debt of the law, tells the Holy Spirit, once you pay the debt of the law, you're sinless and righteous. Once you're righteous, the Holy Spirit can join to you because the Holy Spirit is holy and righteous. Once you're righteous and holy under the penalties paid, He joins with you, you're alive. And you're alive as long as you're joined together. What did Satan think when Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb? Oh, bleep. What's he going to do now?
Be secured in chains.
Yeah. That's it. What's he going to do now? Can he ask for mercy? Why not?
Won't do any good.
That's the whole thing. God wants to unify through His Holy Spirit to make you alive. Satan wants to keep you separated and keep you dead. Adam and Eve, he separated them from God, killed them. Abram and Hagar, God said, through Sarah, your seed's going to come. And Abram went, let's try this. He used Hagar and Abram's fear that he wouldn't have a descendant to separate him from God's will. And how did that turn out? They're fighting right now.
Yeah.
They're shooting rockets at each other right now. Because he separated himself from God and thought he could help God out. David and Bathsheba. David's a man after God's own heart. How's Satan going to take David down?
With his going through desire.
Yeah. He's got to separate him from God. The law says, do not commit adultery, do not covet your neighbors, you know, all that kind of stuff. Satan said, I can separate David from God. Boom, boom, boom. And he did it. That's the whole thing. Satan is to keep you separated. Peter? Jesus said, this is the way it's going to be. And Peter said, no, it's not. May it never be. He was separated. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. That's it. Judas? Judas' intent was separate from God's intent. He's dead forever. He's hung from a tree. He's cursed under the law. What about today? How does Satan keep people dead today?
No baptism.
Huh?
Without baptism.
Yeah. You don't need baptism. You don't need that water. That's just an outward sign of an inward grace. All you need is to commit your life. What life?
Your dead life.
Yeah, that makes sense. All you need to do is devote your life and commit your life and give your life and speak the sinner's prayer and accept Jesus into your heart. What? How can Jesus come into a dead heart? Won't do it. Can't do it. Never happen. The Holy Spirit is life. Everyone's dead. What's the only way that you can be joined back to God?
Death, burial.
Death, burial, the same way Bob and Bonnie would join together through a ceremony performed by a person, authorized by God. Once you go through that ceremony, Bob and Bonnie are one, right? Same thing. It's the only possible way. Satan wants to keep us separated from God. He wants to keep sinners separated from God. He will use foolishness and fear and anger and guilt and stupidity and ignorance. He'll use everything he can to make you look at the church and go, what nonsense. Matter of fact, how many people look at God's church and go, what nonsense? Yes. How many people who call themselves Christian look at the churches of Christ and go, what nonsense? Is Satan keeping them separated, therefore keeping them dead? The whole point of the Holy Spirit is unity, to become one, to bring people together. Satan does it by the deeds of the flesh: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. Don't all those things separate people? Isn't that the way? That's the whole point. When he can get you to go into anger, temper, grudges, and meanness, and rudeness, or immorality, fornication, partying, all that kind of stuff, he's separating you out, and he's keeping you dead. That's the way it works. That's how he runs this thing. He separates them out and keeps them dead. When a predator wants to make a kill, he takes the weak and separates them from the herd. Right? If that roaring lion, who is Satan, that's the picture he gives, the roaring lion who wants to kill you, when he wants to kill you as a Christian, how does he do it? He finds your weakness, and he separates you from the herd. Have y'all seen that happen? Have you seen that lion take down Christians you thought would never go down? Because he found that one weakness. And he takes them and slowly separates them from the herd. And once you're separated from the herd, what happens to you?
You're done.
You're done. How many people think church isn't important? How many people think church is just, you know, if you got time, you know, if you're not busy, if you don't have something more important to do? But church isn't really anything important. Is the lion separating that person from the herd? What's going to happen? They're done. He's going to take them down. No, the Satan's idea is to keep you separated. To keep you separated from your parents, to keep you separated from your friends, to keep you separated from the congregation, to keep you separated from those around you, because if he can keep you separated from those around you, he's got you separated from God. Got it? That's how he keeps people dead. For Satan to rule, he must separate. For God to unify, or for God to rule, he must unify. How easy is that? That's the way it works. Repent, each of you be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Unification. When you come up, the Holy Spirit is joined to you, you become one, unification with God, you're alive. Bingo, the end. And you're alive as long as you're unified. John 17:23, I and them, and you and me, and they are perfected in unity. So once your Holy Spirit joins to you, it's the unity of the congregation that perfects us and matures us. The word perfect is teleos. It means to mature, to become fully what you're supposed to be. So once the Holy Spirit is joined to you, you're born again, you're brand new. But what makes you grow up? Unity. That's what makes you grow up. It's the unity of the Spirit that brings us maturity. We are perfected in unity. Ephesians 4:3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is the thing that keeps you alive. The Holy Spirit joining to you from this ceremony makes you alive. What keeps you alive? Look at the person next to you. That's what keeps you alive. Because it's only love that builds you up. And love doesn't exist without that person next to you. Bonnie, look at the person next to you. Look at it. Turn your head. That right there keeps you alive. That right... Look at it. That right there is what makes you alive. That perfects you and makes you what you're supposed to be in God's eyes. Look at it. That right there is your life. Now, how many people understand that? Tough, isn't it? That's your life. Now, look in the other direction. That's your life. Right? You know that one. That's the point. It's us together. Unity is what makes us alive and brings us to maturity, that perfects us. The assembly of us getting together and becoming more unified, becoming more one, is what makes us mature, that makes us bear fruit. What happens if we don't bear fruit? You're cut off. So it's that person next to you. Look at the people next to you. That person is what makes you bear fruit through loving that person, becoming unified with that person, being joined to that person in the body. That person is what brings you to fruition, that makes you bear fruit and keeps you alive, keeps you from that branch from being cut off. So how important are these people you see around you? They are your life. Now, Satan says, no, the lake is more important. TV is more important. The couch is more important. Sleep is more important. Your job is more important. How many of those things keep you alive? How many of those things separate you and aim you toward death? Think about what I'm saying. Satan wants you to put work and play and sleep and tiredness and your desires and your pleasures and your problems. He wants you to make all that more important than the people you see around you. Those things lead you to separate yourself and be weaker so he can take you down. These people are your life. Life is unification. You understand why I said that in the beginning? Life is unification, becoming one. The more we get together, the more we unify our souls together, the more we become a one unit, the more alive we're going to be. Everybody understand that? I talked to a soldier last week. Greg came over. Charisse came over. The Campbells and their squad of kids. They came over. They're both soldiers. And I had already thought of what I'm going to say here today, and I ran it past him. I said, Greg, I was always taught that soldiers don't fight for themselves. They fight for the people on their left and on their right. And he said, that's absolutely right. You are trained. You do not take a gun and fire in anger. You do not fight for yourself because you're dead. What you fight for is that person and that person. Everything you do is for the person next to you. Because they keep you alive. Is that easy to understand? And you're in combat. You're a soldier. You're fighting for these people, not yourself. You're fighting for these people because they keep you alive. What's the difference in the church? Who should you be fighting for? Who should you be living for? Your own desires, your own wants, your job, your pleasures, your pains, are the people that keep you alive. You understand what I'm saying? Look around you, prayer warriors. You should be living for the person to your left and to your right because they keep you alive. Not your job, not your sleep, not the TV, not your phone. It's the people next to you. They're the ones that keep you alive. Since we are perfected in unity, we should live for our brothers and sisters on each side of us in the congregation because they mature us in unity, and then by maturing, they keep us alive and join to God. Does everybody understand what I just said? I hope that you'll make that your priority. These people around you are your life, not your job, not your vacation, not the lake, not the boat, not anything else. These people are keep you alive. Now, once we understand that, Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. It is unification of the congregation as one through the power of the Holy Spirit that matures us and allows us to look like Jesus Christ. We attain to the unity of the faith and the fullness which is the measure of Jesus Christ. It's the people around you that make you look like Jesus Christ. You understand that? It's the people too around you that make you look, that make you alive, and to make you look like the fullness of Jesus Christ. What's the best way for a soldier to get killed? Get separated from his unit. If a soldier gets separated from his unit, what chance does he have? How is Satan trying to kill every single one of you? If he can just separate you from this unit, if he can just separate you out, if he can just get your mind elsewhere, if he can just get you lost in your phone so you're not worried about these people, if he can get you lost in your vacation, if he can get you lost at the lake, or if he can get you lost in that TV show or that movie you're waiting to go see, if he can get you anywhere else but this fellowship, he's trying to separate you from your unit. And a soldier that gets separated from his unit isn't going to last a minute. Everybody understand this? The Holy Spirit's trying to unify all of us together to bring us to the fullness of Christ. Satan's trying to make you do anything to make you not want to do that. The more you choose to live to your separate desires, the less life you have to live as you find conflict and frustration. The more you live for yourself, the less life you have to live. Understand? The more you choose to live to the unity the Holy Spirit desires, the more life you'll have to live as you find love, peace, and joy. Everybody understand that? Isn't that easy? The more you live for yourself, the less life you have as you live. The more you live for the Holy Spirit and unification in your brethren, the more life fills up the life you're living. That's the way it is. If you want a full, joyous, peaceful, loving life, how do you do it? You live for the unity the Holy Spirit desires. Final thing. A fruit tree does not have to be taught to bear fruit. Right? A child of God does not have to be taught to bear the fruits of the Spirit. It is a natural thing with maturity. You understand what I'm saying? Final thing. This is a picture I want you to get. All religions, all faiths, all denominations, all beliefs that are separate from God's promise through burial and baptism, and resurrection through being joined to the Holy Spirit as a gift, all of them are dead trees. All of them. Now what they do, if I took a dead tree and I tied fruit to the limbs of that tree with string all over it, if I tied apples to a dead tree with string, can I stand back and say, an apple tree? What? Why not? It's nice. It's covered with apples. Why are you saying no? But I have tied fruit to that dead tree, so now it's an apple tree.
And those apples are going to die too.
So those apples are going to rot and fall off. All religions, all denominations, all faiths that are separate from the gospel of baptism for the forgiveness of sin and the resurrection through joining the Holy Spirit are dead trees. And they take good works and devotion and commitment and traditions and they tie them to these dead trees. They tie good works and traditions all over these dead trees. And they stand back and go, behold, Christian. Are they Christian? No more than that dead tree is an apple tree. What happens to all those good works and traditions? What happens to them as time goes by? They rot. They fade. You understand why all religions and all faiths and all denominations keep having all these new ministries and new faiths and new ways and new things? Because all the stuff they've tied to their dead tree keeps falling off and rotting. So they got to go find some more stuff and tie it up to the tree. The purpose-driven life. We'll just tie all that up to the dead tree. Where's that now? The Crossroads Movement. We'll just tie all that up to the dead tree. Where is it now? The Boston Movement. We'll just tie all that up. You guys understand? All of them are dead trees with good works, traditions, commitment, devotion, all tied to these dead branches. And they stand back and they go, aha. We know for a fact that all that's going to rot and fall off because there's no life. Whereas us, Christians, do we have to go out and find fruit and tie it to our branches so we can look like a Christian? No.
You will naturally,
as you're matured by the Holy Spirit, unified to the brothers around you, made alive through loving these people, you will naturally start being patient with them. And the fruits of the Spirit are love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Bonnie, you got more self-control than you used to have? Did you go out and find it in a book and tie it to your life? Or is it just naturally coming out as that person who keeps you alive and sustains your life teaches you more patience? Does Bob teach you patience? Does Bob teach you a lot of patience?
Yeah, I'm sure I teach him a lot too.
Well then, all that patience is a fruit of the Spirit, which proves you're a naturally growing, living tree. So, doesn't he keep you alive? That's the way it works. Does Anna keep show you patience? Does she test you? Not too bad? But that is a fruit of the Spirit. Kindness, gentleness. You have that with Anna? That's fruit of the Spirit, which proves you're a living, natural tree joined to the living branch, the living vine. Thank them. Because they make you alive, they keep you alive, they mature you and make you look like Jesus Christ. Everybody understand this? These people around you teach you patience and kindness and gentleness and long-suffering, and self-control. These people around you make you look like Jesus Christ every time you get together. So how important is getting together? Don't let Satan tell you there's something more important in this world. Because the things in this world want to kill you, separate you. God wants you unified. The Holy Spirit wants you to become one. He wants you to be the fullness of Jesus Christ. And that's the people around you. Unified, becoming one. Everybody understand the lesson? All right, we'll continue the Holy Spirit next week. Is there anything we can do for anybody? Any questions, comments, corrections? You understand why I hug your neck every time everybody comes in here? You guys keep me alive. There's nothing in this world that makes me alive. You guys. And I want to thank you for that. Is there anything we can do for anybody? Any news we need to share?